Then we got The Nation with Lincoln Kennedy coming up next hour, and I'll be leaving a little bit early. I got to catch a flight tonight, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving anywhere until I hear from Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox. Charles, how are you, sir?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing? You got Lincoln coming on?
Yeah, each and every week we do a hour talking about the Raiders with Lincoln Kennedy. Link's one of my favorites. I used to do a show with him every week when he played with the Raiders.
And, okay.
What a great guy he is.
He's absolutely wonderful, and it's just really hard to beat. He has one of the all-time nicknames as a player. Remember the Oval Office, Lincoln Kennedy? I mean, it was outstanding. I used to love that one, and I've got to clue you guys in on something real quick before we start our regular stuff. I had Tampa Bay last week, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. So we're having our meetings on Friday, our production meeting with the Tampa Bay staff, Dirk Cutter, the head coach, et cetera, et cetera. We get done, and a lot of these pro teams are very gracious to you as broadcasters, where you'll have your production meetings or you may have a gap between meeting someone. They'll say, hey, why don't we grab some lunch here at the cafeteria, you know, at our dining hall. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting down to have lunch, and they have the TVs on in the dining hall area, and one of them's on the local news in Tampa. And you know those big inflatable, you know, Frosties or Rudolphs or whatever that you put
in people's yards
in the holidays?
Yeah.
So I've been wanting a Frosty for 20-plus years, right? So we finally got one. My wife agreed to get one last year. She doesn't want it at all. I think she thinks it's extremely tacky, but tacky is me.
Right. Okay?
And Frosty actually breaks into song at different times, and I am firmly convinced that the Frosty we've got is a brother, because when he breaks in and he busts out, he comes out real aggressive, Frosty, the snowman. And I mean, it's just one of the greatest things for me, and my wife, I think, is eternally embarrassed.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm a little worried about Frosty and his longevity. So I'm watching this on TV, and there was a news item where someone had video at their house. They had the inflatable Frosty, and some kid shanked Frosty.
Oh, come on.
And they caught it on video. He goes by, tries to be slick about it, puts the shiv in Frosty, and all of a sudden Frosty is going down, and I'm in horror looking at this.
Oh, my gosh.
And I immediately called home, called the kids, and said, security for Frosty. I need security. I need the perimeter closed.
That's beautiful.
Whole deal. And especially watch your mother, because I think she might be the one that might shank Frosty.
You're a beauty. That is a classic.
No, but on TV, I believe it was here on Good Day Sacramento or a news channel, somebody cut a pig's throat. It was a pink pig.
Come on.
I'm telling you, man, just like this shank, it was one of those things in the front yard, Charles, and someone sliced them up. They're going around doing that, man.
I mean, it's really, you know, here it is, the season of good cheer. You know, well wishes to all, the whole thing. And we got people shanking Frosty and cutting the pig's throat. Now, if it's a legitimate pig, if it's for real and all of a sudden we're going to eat, you know, now we got something to talk about.
Wow.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm you know, some people aren't down with the swine. I'm digging the swine.
Man, that's okay? You're
so
a beauty.
I'm going to eat the bacon, trust me on that one. But when you shank Frosty,
oh my gosh.
You've gone too far now.
Well, you were just talking about Tampa, and they've won 5 in a row, and I got to tell you something. They could just turn Big D upside down if they go in there. Let me tell you something, man. If those Tampa Bay Buccaneers go in the Big D, let me tell you, I know who's playing quarterback the next week. But really, this is going to be – what about Tampa? How do you think they match up with Dallas?
Well, I think that they match up. But the confidence level is so high there, and you guys know that when you go into certain places, you can tell the air around the organization. You know, let's say you went in and you had no idea what the record, but if you just walked through the building, you'd know what the record is,
right?
Or you'd know where they are, right? Because you can just feel the whole organization, which takes its cue from the team, whether they're winning and losing. And right now, I'm telling you, people walk around with big grins on their faces. People have got a nice step, you know, a little extra, you know, pep in their step when they're moving around, the whole deal. Here's where I think that they have a shot at Dallas. You're catching Dallas where rookie guys have carried them all year long or been the focal point. And we always talk about rookie wall. I don't know if it's real or if it's not. But focal point can be a heck of a lot of pressure on a young guy. And when you're playing quarterback And early on, things were kind of rocking easy, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Zeke, we move along. Hey, I'd make a big play there. I thought that Dak Prescott did an excellent job against Minnesota when he didn't have his best stuff, but used his legs at different times to pick up key first downs, made a couple key throws later. That, to me, it was the maturation of a young quarterback. Battle your way through a game where you don't have, where things aren't easy. That's when I would find out if you're a quarterback. Well, he had another one with New York, and they didn't win it. And as you just pointed out, Grant, now the pressure kicks in because Tony Romo's healthy, and if he throws three picks, here comes Tony, and blah, blah, blah. I saw a tweet from Brady Papinga, who played in the league for a long time, an excellent linebacker,
absolutely
really good dude. I think he analyzed the game very well. He said if they really want to tamp down the pressure on Dak Prescott, if you really are truly committed, deactivate Tony Romo the rest of the season.
Oh.
Notice that's not going to happen.
Not a chance.
Okay? And I know what he's saying, but the Cowboys are also going to say back, look, if something happens to Dak, if we deactivate Tony, he's better than Mark Sanchez. Come on now. We got to be ready in case that, because we got a chance to make that kind of a run. But Tampa, I think, matches up confidence-wise. If they hold Zeke down a little bit to where he's not gashing them. Remember last week he had 107 yards, but only one big run, and that was 15 yards. So he didn't just break them down. So if they can do that and start to get after the passer, because Gerald McCoy's playing real well inside. You got Noah Spence who's coming off the edge better now. They're doing a nice job. Robert Ayers moves inside to D-tackle. So you've got chances there, and that defense has gone from giving up 29 points per game, guys, and then over the last five games they're averaging giving up 12 points per game. And I'm telling you, it's not fool's gold. They're playing better. And a little-known safety named Keith Tandy, over the last three games, has played as well as any safety in the NFL. And, yes, that's not hyperbole. It's three games sample, but he's playing really well. And Chris Conte, the guy he replaced due to injury, I don't expect Chris Conte to get his job back anytime soon. Tandy's playing too well.
Wow. No Gronk, no Amendola, Trey Jackson, Garoppolo out. Tom Brady, 496 yards, MVP. What say you, Mr. Charles Davis?
He's in the race, Doug.
He's in the race.
He has to be in the race. He has to be a consideration. I know people have been trotting out the thing that no quarterback has missed four or more games has ever won an NFL MVP. You know, I go back to a great Peanuts comic that Charles Schulz did years ago, where Lucy was giving Charlie Brown all this grief about different stats in baseball. I don't know if you guys remember this one at all. It's one of my favorite ones. You know, Charlie Brown such and such did this, and, you know, they averaged this and they averaged that. And finally Charlie Brown looks at Lucy and says, Lucy, tell your statistics to shut up. And it's one of my favorite ones because at times we have to remind ourselves of that.
Yeah.
That sometimes the stats don't mean everything. Let's find out how we're going to play. Let's see where we're going to go with that. Tom Brady, I say we throw out that missing four games and talk about what he's done since then. I think the people who will vote against him or not for him will say, well, they won 3-1 without him to begin with. Yeah, but they also had a whole lot more weapons at that time than they do now, too. Look, Chris Hogan is turned into a player, being with Tom Brady. This is what great quarterbacks do, guys that you don't think about before become factors. Edelman, of course, he took a little bit of a chewing the other night, didn't he? Because he didn't do it the way Tom wanted it done.
Yeah. Yep.
He got right after that, didn't he? Martellus Bennett has been a Pro Bowl tight end anyway, so I'm not surprised he's going to continue to have success. But Tom Brady has a way of elevating people around him, making them better. He's in that conversation, guys. I think he's in it. I think that Derek Carr is still in it from Oakland. I think that Matt Ryan, you know, with a big finish is in it. Matthew Stafford never gets the credit he deserves out of Detroit. I think that if you go on defense, it'd be hard to go against Khalil Mack with the season that he's having in Oakland. So plenty of people in it. And, of course, Zeke Elliott, Dak Prescott, the way that they've started, let's not discount them at all as well.
Charles Davis, NFL on Fox. You've got San Francisco and Atlanta. I'm just thrilled for you that the game's not in San Francisco because I don't like you doing big-time NFL games in front of 10,000 people. So, you know,
I appreciate that.
And we know Atlanta. Now, here's Atlanta. They control their own destiny right now. And, you know, say what you want. We just spent a lot of time talking about Tampa. We're trying to figure out who might be the second seed. And I'm not that I'm automatically giving it to Dallas, but let's just, you know, for sake of argument. You know, and then we talk about, you know, the Atlanta Falcons, 8-5, and you finish the sentence. Do they excite you at all?
They do more than they have in the past. I mean, and the reason I say that is I see more consistency on defense. Okay, look, guys, over the last X number of years, since John Abraham left the city of Atlanta and took his pass rushing, I believe, to Arizona for a short time before ending up retiring, he was the last guy who had double-digit sacks in a season for the Atlanta Falcons, and that, I believe, was 2012. This year, Vic Beasley has gotten into double digits. First time they've had that legitimate pass-rushing threat. Dwight Freeney has struggled with some injuries, but when healthy, he's still shown flashes of being Dwight Freeney. So, yes, they've been inconsistent at times with it, but over the last few years, no one worried about the Atlanta Falcons pass rush. Last year, they had 19 sacks total for the season. So the bar was low in increasing it, but now they've got some guys they can turn loose. Dan Quinn is the head coach and defensive play caller. He's very creative in how he turns guys loose. And as long as you don't shred them running the ball, and so far I think they've only had one guy with a 100-yard game against them, then you've got a chance to get those exotic looks that Dan likes, those overloads, finding a way to get Beasley schemed up and free. And the best part was they got him with his hand out of the dirt on first and second down. See, last year he's playing defensive end, and he's too light in the behind. He's an outside linebacker now.
Right.
That's what he's supposed to be playing. Look, he played at Clemson. They kept trying to tell him, oh, he plays 230. He played at Clemson 215, 220 pounds. So speed is his forte. That's who he is, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't try and force him or try and fool people with making him something different. But let's face it, Dwight Freeney being in the room with you each and every day, yeah, if you don't try and get an education there and get better there, there's something wrong with you. And by all accounts, Beasley and the rest of that room are listening to Dwight Freeney and trying to pick up tips, and they're getting better. That's why, Grant, I like Atlanta better this year. Last year, no pass rush. It didn't surprise me at all that they went from a 5-0 start and ended up 8-8.
That's why I like being on the radio with you, because of the education,
absolutely,
Charles. So what is the L.A. Rams? They're probably going to need somebody sexy. They're going to need someone who is a quarterback's coach. Two names that I'm interested in, they're just being thrown out there. I want your take on it. Jim Harbaugh, John Gruden.
Well, look, both of them would be home run hits for all the reasons you just said, Doug. It is Los Angeles, right?
Yep.
So I'm going to ask you as a basketball player, and you can help move this forward. The Los Angeles Lakers, the Showtime Lakers, Magic, Kareem, et cetera, won all those titles, right? All those great battles with Boston, Philly, et cetera, okay?
Yep.
If those Lakers win the same exact number of titles during that time frame, but they're playing Hubie Brown, call every set, half-court basketball, does L.A. embrace them the same way?
No.
That's my point, and that's been my belief as well. Go back to the draft last year. They went from 15-1 to get the quarterback Jared Goff.
Right.
I think if they're in St. Louis, Doug, they don't make that move. Not from 15-1.
Gotcha.
They had
Splash.
To make that move going to L.A. You know, it's like Nuke Lelution in Bull Durham. I like to announce my presence with authority.
You're the
and
best.
And that's what they did. It's L.A. You've got to understand that. You need to win, but you also need to do it with some flair, and you need to have some recognizable people. That's why when you mentioned John Gruden, Jim Harbaugh, L.A.'s going to kick the tires on coaches like that. Whether they're interested or not, it's a whole other thing. I think Harbaugh had a statement today to his players that these rumors about me going there are just lies that our enemies are putting out of it. I love Jim. I love how he comes at
right?
it. It's almost like Genghis Khan talking to his guys going into battle.
That's right.
John's name comes up each and every year.
Yeah.
Whether he has that interest, whether he has that itch, I can't begin to tell you, but he's going to analyze things, I believe, and this is just my own personal belief, having known him for a long time. Does he believe in the quarterback? Does he believe in ownership? Remember, John got fired in Tampa after a 9-7 season.
Yeah.
So he's going to cast a wary eye towards who's owning the team and what are we going to do. One thing I would say to him, if he asked me, and he's not going to, one thing you could be able to say to the Los Angeles ownership is, boy, you guys hung in there with Jeff Fisher a long time, and now you're down to 500. So why don't we talk about that model, and maybe you've got my attention if John would believe in the quarterback. That he'd have to analyze himself.
We're talking with Charles Davis, NFL on Fox, and you saw the Cowboys and the Browns play a couple of weeks ago, and after that game, we talked about the ineffectiveness or the laissez-faire attitude that we perceived that Dez Bryant played with that in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how talented he is. And I got to tell you, you know, if you watch the game on Sunday and you didn't know who Dez Bryant was, I mean, really, you wouldn't have any idea that he was on the field, and then he did catch a ball and he fumbled. But what is this, more a Prescott, Brian? And again, I know they've had you know, hookups in the past and they've had touchdowns, but in big games, where doesn't Dez Bryant got to be more active in a game like Sunday night?
He does, and I think it's going to be one of those things that we'll have to keep our eye on. I think the Cowboys, I think Jason Garrett behind closed doors is agonizing over it too. How much do I force it in play calling, he and Scott Linehan?
Right.
How much do I force the hand in play calling to have Dez touch the football? Because you can have it both ways. When you have a guy like Dez, you may very well say, darn it, I write it down. Oh, remember Mike Tyson with the Randy Moss ratio that backfired on him about how many times Randy had to touch it? It backfired on him. It didn't go as well as he wanted it
to go. That's right.
But you also have other times when you say, that guy has to touch it. Let's get creative. Let's make sure he does it, and he'll shred a defense. The thing that I'm looking at with him is, and Linehan and Garrett are very intelligent guys, look at Detroit this year. No Calvin Johnson, so Matt Stafford doesn't go back on every pass and say, okay, where's 81? And if I have any type of a matchup I like, I'm going to force it in that direction. Now he goes where the reads take him, where he thinks the open man is, and he could not be having a better year. So it's got to be weird for Calvin going, well, I finished third in Dancing with the Stars, and now my team's winning games? What the heck is going on here? But there is something to walking that line about how much you force things and get your offense out of sync, because after a while it's almost like half-court basketball where you're going to force it to that star, and everyone else stands around and watches him beat it to beat, you know, put it on the deck, take the shot. And after a while, guys lose a little interest. That's what Dallas is going to have to be careful with.
You know, and again, I give credit to the Giants. I mean, in two games, Dez Bryant has caught two balls for 18 yards.
Denoris Jenkins.
That's exactly right. But I've also seen, you know, Denoris Jenkins, you know, get beat by some receivers that are not nearly as good as Dez Bryant. I mean, we saw Terrell Pryor just 2 weeks ago in Cleveland. He had a field day against Jenkins. And we're talking about the Browns, for crying out loud. And
Yeah, I'm sorry, Grant. Just real quick. Some of those guys are those guys that raise their game to the level of that guy they're playing.
Competition.
And don't have the interest they need to have against other guys and embarrass themselves. Mm-hmm. But I think the better the receiver, the more I bet on the Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah, and that, you know, but again, if I'm looking
and
at this.
That's the unfortunate side. He needs to do it consistently.
Yeah, and that, you know what? That is a great point. But if I'm looking at this from a Cowboys fan's perspective, Dez Bryant is your power up hitter. He's he's your guy that with one swing of the bat, he's your guy. He's your home run hitter. And I'm just wondering, and again, I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse here.
Right.
As good of a regular season as Dallas is having, can they win in the playoffs without Dez Bryant having some home runs? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they can.
I don't know if they can either, because they've got to get some breakouts and some easy shots downfield.
Yes.
They've got to be able to do that to take everyone out of the box with Zeke. Because the playoff game slows down, the plays become more precious. Teams that operate at running a play every 24 seconds now will probably operate at running a play every 26. And while that doesn't sound like much, that means that's one less play, another less play.
That's
right?
A good point.
Off the car. And now you've got to maximize every snap you have. So average team gets, what, about six possessions per half? You know, in the NFL, like last week I had New Orleans and Tampa. They were number two and number three in the league in terms of number of plays per game, both of them around 68 plays per game. So that means most people are getting like 60. Now we get into playoff football. You might get 55. So you better have someone who can break someone down, and on third and whatever, by God, you're going to have to make a play. I don't care if they kick coverage to you. I don't care what they do. I'm throwing it out there, and that catch radius shows up, and Dez makes that play and houses it. And now we've got something going, because you got to open up the lanes for Zeke again. Because, look, I think the pressure of being the focal point of that team is shifting on the Cowboys now. Early in the season, it was fun and games with Dak and Zeke, and wow, this NFL thing's pretty good, isn't it? This is all right. And now people are coming at them differently. They're coming at them harder. They're a little bit tired. It's been a long year. A lot of press is in their face now, and they're hitting that natural, I'm not going to call it a lull, but that natural extra set of pressure that's coming their way. Now, are you going to be able to make those plays, as you said, Grant, playoff time. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? They're in playoff time already if they want to secure the division title and home field, because that loss the other night brings the Giants back into it.
Sure does.
See, if Dallas ends up dropping a couple and they end up tied, guess what, folks? The Giants win the division. Giants have swept Dallas.
Yep.
That changes the whole dynamic about what you're doing. Before the game, all we were hearing out of Dallas, and people were asking Dallas, well, are you going to rest people? Are you going to give Tony Romo some snaps?
Great point.
What are you going to do with Zeke?
That,
what are you going to do here? Guess what? No one's asking a single one of those questions right now.
It's a great point.
They've got to win games.
Yes. 525, it is time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. It's not just toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the entire family with Charles Davis. Charles, interestingly enough, I want your take because it's a football side of things, but we're having some issues with the Kings in Sacramento. And I look at two players and the Patriots, an incredible organization, and tell me, how do they find these type of guys? LeGarrette Blount, cut by Tampa, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Deion Lewis, Cleveland, and Philly, but they continue to find these guys that come in. And those are the type of guys, Grant, we're looking here in Kingsland for players to add around DeMarcus Cousins and to be productive. How do these guys in the Patriots continue to do this?
The most amazing thing for me with New England, and they do it without fanfare, without bugles blaring, the whole deal, is they identify what you do very well as a player and match it up with what they need and what they want with their scheme.
Ah, system.
And they don't. They tend to minimize what you can't do,
okay,
and maximize what you can do. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of places look at what you can't do. Well, I don't know if we can make him better and what have you. And New England's like, yeah, but in our scheme, if I want LeGarrette Blount to run over people, control the clock, eat up time, get big carries, and I'll take that. See, when he was with other places, they were like, God, what are we going to do with LeGarrette on third down? He can't pass protect. He can't catch the ball very well. Can't put him on the field. Can't do that. And New England's like, I don't care about third down. I want first and second down. I'm going to hand it to the big horse.
Right.
Okay? Deion Lewis. Okay. Quick. Shifty.
Yep.
Can I throw it to him?
Mm-hmm.
Can he run it inside for me? Can he do those things? Oh, yeah. That works out pretty well for me. He's an extra weapon for us. What can he do? Well, he can't really pass protect because he's not a big guy. And he can't. Well, I'm not worried about that. He won't be in on those downs.
Right.
And that's what they do. They also do it so well as to not totally tip play calling. And that's a fine art, because when you have guys with different talents, you get a read on them and you get the tape dug.
Yep.
Okay, this guy's a third down guy. This guy does this. This guy does that.
You know they automatically.
They break tendencies enough that you can't make it an automatic. You can suspect it, but you can't just go, well, he won't do that on this
for
play.
Sure.
And sure enough, he does, and you get nailed on it. Hmm. They are incredible at just saying, this fits our scheme. What he does works for us. And then they coach him up and develop him. And all of a sudden, Rob Ninkowski, who was an undersized guy, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. Oh, he rushes the pass, has a knack of getting to the passer. Well, that's what we're going to do for us. And look at the career he's had.
Charles, you may never talk to me again. You know, the Kings are in Dallas this weekend, and I'm bringing nothing but my Giants gear. So,
listen, man, that's what you got to do. I mean, that's love, all right? And that's loyalty, and that's devotion.
Right.
And you know something, Grant? I wouldn't expect anything less.
He's got some on right now, Charles. He's already prepped and
ready
to go.
I'm ready for the flight tonight. By the way, Mark Spears was on with us last hour, and he wanted us to say hi to you. Yes. So.
Hey, you tell Mark hello. He's been a great, great man in my career through time.
He's awesome.
Looked out for me and the whole deal, and he's one of my heroes out there as well. He's a good, good man and a tremendous writer.
Yes, he is. Hey, Charles, you're the best. Have a great week. Thank you very much.
Appreciate
you. Hey, you guys do the same. Be safe traveling.
Thank
Grant,
you.
Doug, we'll talk to you later.
You got it, my man.
All right, that's Charles Davis, NFL on Fox.